Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Basra Daf Membav. We are holding 8 lines off the top of the Amud Tanur Rabbanan. We have learned the following interesting halacha in a braisa. What if a person swapped his garment? Nischalfo loy kelim bekelim bevesa uman. He gave his shirt to the dry cleaners and he got back someone else's shirt. Kalim here is a reference to garments. So the uman, the craftsman, the professional, the dry cleaner fellow, the tailor, gave him back the wrong garment. Harezi yishtamesh behen, question, could I use it or not? Yep, he can use it ad sheyavai hala v'yitol shaloi, until the rightful owner of that garment will come and collect it. So how could I use it until then? We'll see in a minute. However, if this occurs at a wedding or at a beis ha'avol, rachmana litzlan beis ha'avol or beis ha'mishteh, so he walks away with the wrong coat, harezeh lo yishtamash behen, in this case he cannot use it. Ad sheyavai ha'alavi yitol shaloi, until he locates the rightful owner. What's the difference between both cases? Either way, you know it's not your article of clothing, maishna resho, maishna seifa. What difference does it make if it was given to you by the store owner or you just picked it off the shelf at a wedding? Amar Rav. So Rav, we know, was Rabbi Chia's nephew. Havi Yosivna Kameda Chavivi. I was sitting in front of my uncle, Rabbi Chia. He called him endearingly Chavivi. Va'amarli, and he sought to explain to me, in fact, you know, what is the difference between these two scenarios. Varmalin explained to me as follows. The reason why one may actually use the shirt or the coat or the suit that the store owner gave him is as follows. Varmalin, is it not possible, is it not common for a person to instruct the tailor or the dry cleaners to sell his garment secondhand? You know what? Find me a customer. Mechir li talisi. So perhaps that's what happened. What happened was like this. Reuven and Shimon both handed their suits to the dry cleaners. Shimon asked the dry cleaner man to please find a customer for his suit. The dry cleaner man, by mistake, right? He mistakenly gave away Reuven's suit. He sold Reuven's suit. When Reuven comes to pick up his suit, he realizes, oh, I gave his away. So instead, he hands him Shimon's suit until he can, you know, sort things out. So that's the assumption. And the reason why he's giving him the other suit, he's doing it intentionally until he can figure things out, until he can retrieve his own suit. And since it was done intentionally, of course you can use it. That doesn't apply by a beis ha'avol or any other public setting. You can't just walk away with somebody else's garment just because he took yours. Doesn't justify you taking his. Amar Rav Chia Breid Rav Nach Leishanu. When is this correct? When do we allow you to use the other fellow's suit handed to you by the uman? Elohu. That is only true when the uman himself gave it to you. So we can speculate, we can assume it was done intentionally. Aval ishto yubanav loy. But suppose the store owner was not around, and it was handed to you by the, you know, his assistant, his wife, his kids. In that case, we have no reason to believe that it was done intentionally. More chances that they just swap things by mistake and you can't use it. V'hu nami le'amar, and even if he himself has it to you, it's only allowed. Ela da'amar le'talis stam, when he gave it to you, he said, well, take this suit. So perhaps it was a swap and he knew that he mixed things up and he was giving this to you as a substitute. It was done willingly and intentionally. Aval talischa, but let's say as he's giving you the, handing you the suit, he says, oh, Reuven, here's your suit, look how beautiful it. In this case, he's clearly making a mistake. He's thinking that this is yours, Loi, so you can't just take it and use it. Hi, Lav Talis, did they who? Because in reality, it's not yours. Amalei Abai L'Rav. So Abai tells Rav, come, I'll show you something interesting. Ach vilach, I will describe to you, I will show to you the behavior, the modus operandi of the thieves, dishonest residents of Pumbedisa, who are known for their antics. Tov ach vilach ramoy de Pumbedisa, my abdi. Look, listen to what they do. So a person hands his coat to the tailor, right? Fix it up. Amarli havli sar b'loy. Okay, he comes over to him to pick up the coat. Could I please have my coat back? Lo yhoyu dvar ma'ilum, the fellow responds. Well, never happened. You never gave me a coat. What do you mean, says the customer? Ho isli sahadi. I have edim de chazio gabach, who noticed my coat in your shop. Amarli sadi. Store owner responds. Awach rinav. What do you mean? That's a different... it's a totally different coat. They saw something similar. It's a similar style, but really it's the other person's. Okay, a pikne v'nechzinu. Says the customer, responds, okay, so show me, bring out the coat, and we'll confirm, we'll verify whose coat it is. Amar le, so the tailor responds, Ivra, no, truthfully, lema pikne, I'm not going to show it to you. Rashbam says, because I don't want to expose other people's property to strangers, eyes, and he's doing this, pretending to be Erlich and trying to protect other people's property, but really he's trying to rip him off. So he's using Ramois trickery to get his way. Amar Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, look, we know that he's a Ramay, but Shaper Karmale, halachically, strictly speaking, legally speaking, he's right. I mean, theoretically, even an honest person can present the same argument. Ra'a Tanya, because if you recall, yesterday we learned that the only way you can nail the Uman is by actually noticing the item in his possession. Then he can't deny, then he can't, stonewall, but if you haven't seen it, you ate him, haven't really located it with clarity in his possession, you can't do anything about it. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi continued on this thread, V'chakim, if the customer is a smart fellow, he can find a way to outsmart the dishonest Pumbedisa fellow. Mashvi le'ro, he can arrange that the item will be exposed to the Edom. How? The Amar Le, because he goes quietly to the at night, quietly he approaches the store owner. He says, look, I know why you're holding onto my coat, because I owe you money, right? He's sort of like playing along with him. I might fisas le, why are you grabbing my coat? Lav mishum di islo kaboy, because you have a claim by me. I owe you some money. But the coat is worth so much more. I mean, you don't want to take a coat that's worth more than what I owe you. Let's figure out exactly what I owe you. Let's, figure out the dollars and cents, the value of the coat, and, work it out. Hashta piknu v'shaminu. So bring the coat out. We'll evaluate it. We'll have, an estimator look at it. And shkolat idach, you'll take what belongs to you. I'll give you whatever I owe you. V'eshkolano didin, I'll take the rest. Meaning, why are you taking, you don't really want to take the coat, which is worth more than you're owed, right? You're an honest fellow. And this way, he'll try to get, two Edom to have a look at it. Oh, I nail him. Oh, we noticed that you this fellow's coat in your possession. That makes it raw. That changes the whole equation and preempts his denial. Ha'omale Rav Acha, Breda Rav Avi Rav Ashi. So he responded to Rav Ashi, well, guess what? This fellow is always one step ahead. Motzi Amale, so the tailor can respond to the customer who's suggesting that they, have it appraised. You know what? I don't really need your appraisal. It's been already appraised in the past. The ones who came before you. Basically, I'm already past that. We've already appraised it, and actually, it's not worth more than what you owe me, so I'm just keeping it. So basically, failed attempt. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Aris ein loy chazok. An aris is a sharecropper. It's meant to cultivate the property, work at it, and walk away with a share, with a percentage, a commission. Okay, so if he sits on the property for 3-4 years, he can't just claim ownership, because we know he's there, within this context of an aris, right? Amai asks the Gemara, hold it, why? Why can't he claim ownership? He's been taking over the entire property, which is not your standard procedure. Ado id, until now, palga, he would only take half the crop. Ashta kula, and for the past couple of years, he's been just shipping out everything, taking everything. Of course he can claim ownership. Why would the owner allow him to Always. We're speaking about a family arrangement. So there's basically, the Oris is not just a private individual doing work. It's him. It's his whole family. It's a tradition dating back to his parents. His grand. They've been always involved in tending to this fellow's property, and as Rashbam says. Typically, the arrangement there is a bit different. Instead of taking only a percentage, they would take the entire crop for, let's say, a set amount of years. It would alternate. The oris will take 3 years of crop, and then the next 3 years, the owner will take it. So, the fact that he took everything doesn't mean that he's an owner. Amar Rav Nachman, oris shahirid, a recent tachtav, even oris bati abis, right? But let's say, instead of him being personally involved in developing the farm, he hired some, assistants, some underlings. He delegated the job to others, and he wasn't really involved. In this case, yesh lechazaka. The fact that he's there a couple of years makes it a chazaka. Rashbam says, the Baal HaBayis, the owner, would never allow this fellow to delegate the job to others. He trusts him, not the others. So if he was there with them, fine, but if he's just delegating it and disappearing, apparently, he sold it to this person. The Gemara explains, my time, why does this change things? The lawyer of the Indish, a person typically does not allow this. Does not allow the Nachsi Arise La'ari Veshasek to allow just random Arisim take over his property and remain silent. Om Rabbi Yechanan, Oris Shecholak La'arisin Ein Lechazok. But, if this Oris Batei Abis delegated some of the jobs to other Arisin, but he still was involved, says Rashbam. He was there with him. He was, overseeing his underlings. So back to square one, in the Chazaka, that does not indicate ownership because this is standard procedure. My time of why? Amor will just assume Harmanya Baal Meshavyo. The owner thinks, okay, the job is getting a bit too hard for him, so he got himself some helpers, but he's still an Aris. As before. Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Chizdel Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. I have a question. Lamdein Rabbeinu, please Rabbi, teach us. Let's say, Reuven, who is the landowner, hired an Aris. And now he's confronted by a stranger, Shimon, who's claiming to own this property. He's claiming ownership. He's challenging Reuven's balus. Can the Aris side with Reuven? Can he vouch for Reuven? Can he be involved in this case? Oris Meid, can he say Edus to maintain Reuven's ownership in the property? Or maybe, no, he has a conflict of interest. He's thinking about himself. He wants Reuven to retain ownership so that he can stay on the job. Or maybe not. So Rabbi Yosef was sitting there. Amar Lein, he responded, Ach Yama Shmuel, quoting Shmuel, yep, he could. Oris made, he can provide testimony to the effect that Reuven is the owner. Atanya ain't made, but we have a brisa which says he cannot. Like Kaasha, answers like this. It depends whether we see some agenda brewing, whether there's some potential gain or benefit to the Oris for offering this testimony, which makes him a negei aveidus. Ha, the ikaper of Ara. When we say that an Oris cannot get involved, that's where there's still Paris on the property. He hadn't yet taken his portion. Of course he wants Reuven to maintain ownership so that he can get his commission. Otherwise he's going to lose it. But if there's nothing left, and also he hadn't really worked on the field that year, he's on vacation, so he doesn't really have any claim on the property, so he couldn't care less whether it belongs to Reuven or Shimon, so here he can testify for Reuven. Rashbam says that, maybe the reason why he's pushing for Reuven, because he wants to maintain his job with Reuven. Well, he says, Harbei, Rashbam says, there are many opportunities in town, many fields that are looking for an Aris, and he'll get a different job if this one doesn't work out. So he's not really considered a Negeya Beidus. Okay, on the topic of a Negeya, Tanur Rabban, we have another Bryce, Arev. So Shimon borrowed $1 million from Reuven. Levi is an Arev, a co-signer, guaranteeing that loan. Any issues? Any defaulting? Reuven, the banker, the lender, the creditor, goes to Levi. Now, there was a question that arose regarding Shimon, the loiv of the borrower's property. Somebody came and challenged his ownership, and Levi, the Arab, happens to have some information which would be of assistance to Reuven, to maintain his property. Arev made the Levi, he can do that. He can offer testimony to allow Shimon to retain his property. V'hu de'isle arachriti, provided, unconditioned, that Reuven has his own property, in addition to this questionable property, into which Shimon, the lender, right, who borrowed from, Reuven borrowed from Shimon, okay? So Shimon, the lender, can tap into the other available property, irrespective of this questionable property. So by Levi coming and restoring Reuven's ownership to this property, it's not really benefiting him. Because you would think maybe he's trying to preempt a foreclosure on his own properties because he's backing up the loan. That's only if the borrower has no other properties. But he has other properties available for collection by the creditor. So he's not really gaining much by helping the borrower in this case. Who is the arachrit? The next case is a malva, me'ed l'loive. Okay, so Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Shimon can actually come around and help Reuven maintain his property if he's being challenged by somebody. And don't think the malva is just out to help himself, because really we're speaking of Hudi Isle Arachriti, that the Loive, Reuven has his own properties, free and available properties aside from this questionable one. So in any case, the Malva has a way to tap into, and he's out to no gain. He's just trying to help him out. Here comes another halacha, without lenders or borrowers, just a person selling his property. Lekeach Rishon made Lekeach Sheni. We have a fellow Reuven who had several properties. He sold one property to Shimon and guaranteed the deal. Promised him a full refund if there's any issues. Okay, so basically all Reuven's properties are now bound to the sale. Any issues with the sale, he goes back to Reuven's properties and gets reimbursed. Okay, so anything that he has available or anything that he may have sold after that sale took place, that sale with Shimon took place. So then he sold another property to Levi. And there are issues that just arose with Levi's ownership. Somebody challenging his ownership. Shimon can help Levi, can defend him. There's no agenda. There's no possible gain. You know why? V'hud isli arachriti was speaking that the seller, Reuven, has another property that's free and available for Shimon to tap into, if in case he has a reason to get refunded on his property. So he's not really agenda-driven when he's coming to help out Levi, because he has other places to tap into. What about a kablon? Kablon is a more serious type of arev. Rashbam says he basically he's very involved in the loan. So we have Reuven borrowing money from Shimon, and the arev kablon actually handed the money from the creditor, from the lender to the borrower. Why does that change the equation? So Rashbam says, typically, if the loiva defaults, the malva can only collect. Firstly, he has to go to the loiva. Anything available, he takes it first. And then, if there's nothing available, he goes to the arev. So first to the loiva, second stop to the arev. By a kablon, it doesn't work like that. You have both options available. Rashbam says, "Mimisha yirtze hamalva yifra tchila." Since the Arev is so personally involved in the deal, it's as though he borrowed the money himself. So if the Malva has any issues, he can choose to go directly to the Kaplan if he wants. And we know that a lender has a right to collect from medium quality properties, Beinonis. He doesn't have to resort to poor quality properties, Ziburis. He has a right to collect from Beinonis. Okay, so knowing that, let's go back to the case. Kaplan. So we have Reuven borrowing money from Shimon. Levi was an Arev Kablon. And then suddenly there's some issues with Reuven's property. Somebody is challenging his ownership, and the Kablon, Mr. Levi, happens to have some information that could be of benefit to Reuven and defend him in this process. Can he get involved or not? Does he have any personal gain by restoring Reuven's ownership, by making this field his and making it available to the lender for potential foreclosure? or not. Amri lo meid, some say he can get involved and say edus. V'amri lo eni meid, some say he cannot. Amri lo meid, some say he could, because, as we said before, we're speaking that Reuven has other properties as well. So the fact that he has another property doesn't really affect the bank's ability to foreclose on his properties. So either way, Levi the Arev is protected. Nobody's going to Levi as long as Reuven still has available, free and available properties. So to add another property to his portfolio doesn't really affect Levi's chances of losing his property. So Amr Lameid Ka'arev Dami. He's like the Halach of the Arev that we said before, that when there are no factors of benefit or gain, sure, be involved. But Va'amr Lo Eino Meid, and some disagree. No, you can't. And we're speaking that the property in question here is an Beinonis property, a medium quality property. And the property that Reuven had until now, that's uncontested, is Ziburis, is bad quality. So the property that he's being challenged on is the other property, Beinonis. So the Arev Kablan very much has an interest in defending Reuven against this other stranger who's challenging his ownership on the Beinonis. He wants Reuven to have Beinonis as well so that Shimon can foreclose on that. Otherwise he'll go running to the Kablan, who happens to have his own Beinonis. So therefore he cannot be involved in this case. He's pleased. He prefers to Lahava Biyode Tarvai. Reuven has both properties, medium and bad quality, so that, meaning, in addition to the bad quality, he also has the medium quality, so that's available for the Ibal Chayiv, who might prefer to go to him better than the, who might prefer Beninus over the Ziburis, naturally. And this way, if the Leiva himself has Beninus, he's going to leave the Kablan alone. I'll go straight to the Leiva and not bother the Kablan. The Chiyasa Baal Chayiv. So that when the Baal Chayiv comes to collect on account of a foreclosure, he'll go straight to Reuven, Umay Deboi Shaka, he'll be able to get what he needs. So he's going to get, so Levi, the Arev, the Kaplan, is going to get Be'edis, because ultimately he's just trying to protect himself. And therefore he cannot be involved. Okay, so we have a sugi about swapped clothing, mix up in the Uman, or by the Beis HaMishteh, by the Uman you can take it and keep it, provided it was given by the franchise owner himself, and he just gave it to you stam without saying this was yours, whereas by the Beis HaOvel, Beis HaMishteh, if there's a mix-up, you cannot use it. We had a story about the Ramayim from Badisa, how we deal with them, and then the Halach of Oris, Ein Lech Azaka, that's specifically about Oris Batei Ovois. What about if he hired others to help him out? Well, it depends if he's involved and he still has no chazaka, but if he's uninvolved, that would should elicit a challenge on account of the owner, and if he allows him to do it, it denotes ownership on account of the oris. What about an oris being involved in edus to help his landowner? Well, it depends if he has an interest or not. All the best to you, not slach rabbah.